Well, my name is Lyle. For those who don't know me, I've done a lot of things in life that were less than integral. Been to prison several times in my life. All my crimes were crimes of Ashton. Every time I went to prison, they were for crimes of Ashton. And crimes of Ashton are simply integrity. It has to do with your integrity. Forgeries, fraud, thefts, burglaries, dishonesty, those kind of things. You know, I look back and there's a man in the Bible by the name of David. And David loved the Lord. David was 17 when the Lord came to his father's house, when Samuel came to his father's house, and he anointed him king at 17. David went through a lot. He didn't take the throne until he was 30. In those 13 years, he went through a lot. I ask this question a lot. If he was anointed at 17, he took the throne at 30, when was he the king? He was a king the day God anointed him king. There's people sitting in this room right now that have been anointed to be something, and you are that this day. You are on the journey to get to where you need to be. You know, and David followed the Lord. He went out with all the armies were afraid of Goliath. And Goliath was standing there shouting out insults. And everybody's afraid. You know, you don't want to be yelled. I can remember sometimes in life, you know, being at the, I was one of those guys that kind of halfway used to like to fight. But when I got strung on that dope, I became somewhat of a coward. You know, people just didn't know it, so I hid behind the fact that people didn't know I was a coward. But I'd be in a bar or the dope house somewhere, and I'd be afraid or whatever to make eye contact with the whom I thought was the bully. You know what I mean? But anyway, this guy David, he goes out on the front line with 5 smooth stones out the brook, and he faced the giant down. And he killed the giant. This man believed, he told his brothers, he told the king, he said, listen. He said, one time a lion had got one of my sheep, and I killed the lion and got my sheep back. And one time a bear got one of my sheep, and I killed the sheep. I mean, I killed the bear and got my sheep back. And he said, I'm coming today in the name of the Most High God. I don't have no fear for you, Goliath. And if you know the story, he killed Goliath, and he cut off his head. David was told the Ark of the Covenant was coming to town. And David was looking forward to the Ark of the Covenant because he knew that's where the power was. Where God was his power. He knew that. There was no shame in David. He believed in God and knew that his only strength was in the Lord. And when he married Saul's daughter, her name was Michal. One of the king's daughters, he married, her name was Michal. But anyway, when the Ark of the Covenant came, he saw it coming down the street, and the Bible said David danced with all his might. It said he danced with all his might. You know, and I know what it is to dance like that. See, because when God saved me, I've cut across the pulpit more than one time.
Yeah.
I've cut across the pulpit several times. I wasn't ashamed of what God had done for me. I can remember being in church one time and the Spirit of the Lord hit me. My mother was on one side of me. The girl I was dating was on the other side of me. And I was the third row back. And I couldn't get out. But it was like fire shoving my bones, Mick. I jumped the first pew. I jumped that second pew. And I jumped the next pew. And I hit the floor dancing. See, because I knew where my strength came from. But the Bible said David danced with all his might. As he began to dance, his clothes began to come off. Now here's David the king, in front of all these peasants and servants and all these townspeople, and his clothes began to come off as he danced in that street. But his wife, see, his wife knew David. His wife looked to David for strength, but his wife somehow didn't know God. His wife somehow didn't know that all David's strength came from God. And she became ashamed of her husband. And she looked out there and she told David, David, don't you see them servant girls out there? He danced out all down to his, I guess, loincloth, whatever they wore up under there back there. He had danced down all that. And she said, don't you see them servant girls? David, don't you ever do that again. And David looked at him because David knew. He knew Marvin where strength came. And he told him, he said, listen, if that feeling comes on me again, girl, you ain't seen nothing yet. So you ain't seen nothing yet. And you know something? And you can call it coincidence. You can call it what you want. But Michael never had a child for David. All the kids David had, Michael was unable to give him a child. That coincidence? Maybe. Or maybe God just shut her down because of her unbelief. You know, I look back at my life and where I'm at today. I sit in my office and look out the window at the fountains out there and the ducks, all the pretty flowers and the scenery. If you've ever been out there at Chambord, that office, they got that place built up really nice out there. They spent a lot of money. They spared no expense. And I look up and see that little office I'm sitting in. But that's not where I came from. You know, it's because of God I'm able to sit there and endure that today. But I've come from places that I was really ashamed to be in. I look back at myself, and I can remember being so dirty and so filthy. I can remember walking down the street in the rain and the sleet and so cold there were icicles hanging off my jacket and things like that. And I've got to push the doors of these empty buildings and kick them in so I can get in and go somewhere and be out of the elements. I want to be out of the conditions of the weather. At no time did I understand that God can bring me out. See, because even back then, I had gave my life to God, but I never gave my will to God. Somebody tonight ought to hear what I'm saying. I gave my life to God, but I didn't give my will to God. Have you ever been to Narcotics Anonymous? It says the third step said, gave my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood Him. See, I didn't do that. And I found myself in some of the strangest, craziest places that you would never think. I can remember one morning I'd been working his truck on his parking lot. The window was cracking. I got inside. There was all kind of tools in his truck. And I couldn't carry a bunch of them walking, so as much as I could carry, I'd grab and go sail. Then I'd grab and go sail. I would go and go. And I'm filthy, so I come back. This guy let me borrow his truck. So I go down there because I'm going to load up this time. But I get there on the parking lot, and I seen a guy sitting across the street, but that didn't matter to me. Only thing mattered to me is I had to get one more. I needed one more. I had to get one more hit. That's what mattered to me. And I got out of that car, and I tipped around, and I wasn't even paying attention. I had become complacent with that'll do spirit. I had that'll do spirit. This is good enough. As I looked up, I heard somebody say something. It was that guy that was sitting across the street. Now, this guy had a 9mm Glock, and he began to pull it out. Now, I jumped off the truck, and I began to run. He began to call me all kind of names, and he was about from here to that speaker there, and he pulled that gun, and he pulled it up and did like this, and I heard the thing go click, and didn't do nothing. But I'm running with all my might. I'm running for my life. And he's coming behind me. And so I seen him chamber another round. And I knew there was a round then because the first round flew out of the gun. But the next round, Marvin didn't go off either. So now you can call it what you want. You can call it luck. You can call it coincidence. You can call it whatever you believe. But I'm still here. And I jumped. I was running so fast, like I told you before. You might see me limping around today, but I was a heck of an athlete. If they'd had a crackhead Olympics, I'd have been a gold medalist. But I come through running through the alley, and I just hurled this fence. I hurled it in one stride. As I hurled the fence, I looked, there were two pit bulls in there. I startled them. But by the time they got their bearings, I was coming out the other side. You know what I mean? And I hit the other side of the fence. In one stride, I hurtled out that fence, Marvin. I come up out of there, and I'm running with all my might, and I go through these alleys on D-Wall, and I cut through these yards, because I'm running, because this guy, I'm pulling ground on him, because he didn't come in that yard, where the pit bulls were. He went around, but I'm getting distance between us, right? And I get almost to Creighton, so I'm about to run across the street, because I didn't bother to look for traffic because I'm running for my life. I'm scared to death, and there was no reason why I should have made it to the next day. There was nothing on this earth that could have kept me from not being killed that day on that yard. But as I got to the curb, I had to stop because the car was flying. It was the police. Somebody had called them. The police were flying to the scene to where I was. And so I stopped in the yard, and the police looked at me, and that man gave me the finger. He didn't know I'm the guy you're looking for. And so he let me go, and I kept going. And I got through, and you know, I had old girlfriends that date back in the day. And I ran, and I jumped through the screen. Her screen was up. I jumped through the screen of her house on the bottom floor, and I landed, and there was a boxer dog standing right there. But I knew the dog because I used to date the girl. I looked up at her, I looked up at him and said, "Hey, Mike." That was his name, Mike Tyson, old boxer. And I looked up and said, "Hey, Mike." And he looked at her, you know, she came down. There was no shame in me. You would think that something would have stopped me. I can remember being so filthy in the car with somebody and so grungy that you could smell my feet through my shoes. Now you think, Marvin, that would have been enough to shame me, to want to do something, Carl, to be something different, to try to be something more than that. But it didn't. I remember time, and I'm telling these stories because these things, somebody needs to hear this. I'm not glamorizing that life because it wasn't glamorous at all. I was running for my life out there on that Ho Chi Minh Trail. I remember one morning I had been out for so long, I was starving, I hadn't eaten nothing. I didn't have no money. And I had been blocked off from everywhere for anybody who cared for me. I wasn't allowed in my parents' house and things like that. And I smelled barbecue. I said, man. And it smelled like the best barbecue ever made in any time, anywhere in the whole history of the world. I was that hungry. So I watched a lady come out. She go back in the house and close the lid. I looked around the ground. I seen a little metal stick. I grabbed that metal stick and brushed the end of it off, and I ran and I opened that lid of that barbecue pit and I speared one of them slabs of ribs and I took off running. Mick, I'm running down the street with this lady's dinner. You would think that'd been enough to shame me to want to do something and be something better than that. I got to the gas station around the corner and I asked somebody, "Go in there, give me a couple bags." And the guy came out and gave me a couple bags. I wrapped them hot ribs up in that bag, and I went in and stole me two soda pops and a piece of cake. And I went across the street to Kettler Park, and I sat down and ate. You talk about a guy that has good sense, a guy that has a good education, a guy that was physically able to work and feed himself. You talking about a guy that comes from a good family. But I had allowed the addiction and my choices to take me to those places and to be something that I was not. And I didn't know how to come out of it because I would go to church. Because my family is very spiritual. I would go to church, they'd buy me an outfit. I'd take a shower. I'd go to church, I'm still 40 pounds underweight, looking crazy. And I'd go to church. But somewhere in that arrogant mind of mine, when they were called for the altar call, see, I'm going up to the altar call. See, because my mom's sitting here. See, I needed favor from my mom. So I'm going up to this church, this altar call, because if I go up to this altar call, mom's going to forgive me for some things. Not at all understanding that that's not what it was all about. Not understanding that this was a time to come and do business with the Lord and become something different. So I would go up to the altar with my chest stuck out. See, because I was a journeyman concrete finisher. I was good at what I do. I was all state in basketball through high school. I played for AAU. I was good at what I do. I read all kind of trophies and awards. I was good at those things. So I would go up there to the altar with my chest stuck out. All pompous. I got on somebody's cologne because it wasn't mine because I couldn't afford to buy none. I got on some of my daddy's cologne and some outfit somebody bought me, and I'm standing up there with my chest stuck out and I'm all proud. And God couldn't do nothing with that guy. He couldn't do nothing with that guy. See, God didn't want to do business with the basketball player. See, because Lonnie, there was nothing wrong with the basketball player. I could still throw in 20 points a night. He didn't want to know about the concrete finisher because I can lay sidewalk, I can lay curves, I can lay street slabs, I can run a power trowel, I can run a mop, I can do it all. He didn't want to know about that. What God needed to do business with the liar. He needed to do business with that thief.
Yeah.
He needed to do business with that same old stinking dope fiend.
Yeah.
But I was too proud to go up there like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for years, I'd go back out into that same old suffering, that same old misery, that same old degradation. I can remember, you know, Fort Wayne had one black radio station a while back. And I can remember that I went out and made me a good lick. So I had this girl, and we was up in this other girl's house. We upstairs in the bed, had the radio on, and we're getting high, and I'm sitting there looking like my gump the hump because I'm looking stupid. I'm all tweaked out and all this kind of thing. I couldn't halfway function. But I'm sitting there, and Sunday morning, it was Saturday night, but Sunday morning had come in, and the radio station had gospels on now. But now I'm too high as a rough room. Now I'm not getting up out this bed. But I can remember the radio said, and prayers going out tonight for Lyle Kelsall. And I said, oh, mama, quit doing that. Because I knew my mama had called. You know what I mean? I know my mama had called my name in. See, I was ashamed, Marvin, of that. And I was ashamed of the wrong things in my life. I was ashamed. I talked to a friend of mine. He's a paraplegic. This guy was making $100,000 at one time in his life. Couldn't let the dope and stuff alone. And one night in a stupor, went out in front of a truck and it paralyzed him. So I went to hear him. This happened some years back. And I went to hear him speak last year. One of my best friends in life. And he began to speak and give his testimony. It did nothing for me. And I just kept looking and I was waiting. I kept looking and I was waiting for him to tell his story. But he didn't tell his story. He told a story of what he thought people wanted to hear. And I would love for that brother one day to speak here, but I won't ask him to come here because when I talk to him, he says, well, you know what, Lyle? I'm not ready to tell people that part of my life. I said, brother, that's the testimony.
Yeah.
I said, that's the hope shot, brother.
Yeah.
That's the hope shot right there. If you're ashamed of God in front of people, he's going to be ashamed of Jesus. He's going to be ashamed of you in front of his Father. Don't you know he got to hold on? But I had to hold on by the hem of my garment, and I knew God had changed something in my life when I was no longer ashamed to tell somebody. I was a dope fiend. I was no longer the first step, according to Narcotics Anonymous, it says, as I admitted that I was powerless over my addiction, and my life had become unmanageable. See, because I thought I was powerless. I thought I was just doing it wrong, Howard. I thought I just hadn't figured out how to do it. I tried it every kind of way. I tried it every kind of way. And somebody here tonight, God is calling you. Your life has been changed now. You said where you said, but your life has been changed already. But you're ashamed to tell somebody what God has done for you. You sit back ashamed to tell somebody because you got to be the tough girl in the halfway house. You got to be the tough guy in the halfway house. You got to be the one with your chest stuck out because you're not scared. You're not the police. You're not a snitch. You're none of those things. When I gave my life to God, I went back to prison. And I don't care what job they gave me. I was the best person in that place for that job. When I cleaned the bathroom, I cleaned the bathroom walls. I cleaned it all. It didn't matter. Because all I knew is I didn't want... See, I didn't know that God would have me working in corporate America. I didn't know God would give me a woman. The best friend in my life. So I didn't know God would give me a $300,000 home to live in. I didn't know that I'd ever have a car that was paid for. I didn't know them things, Mick. I didn't know that then. But all I knew was I didn't want to go back to what I used to be. Anything was better than going back to what I used to be. So I began to own what I used to be. I began to tell on myself. I began to become a snitch. I'd call my sponsor and tell him, what the enemy is trying to talk to me.
Yeah.
The psychiatrist Donovan says an addict alone is in bad company. Because we will justify and rationalize some of the most outlandish things in the world. You know, we sit here, get a clean shirt, clean dress, look nice, and all of a sudden, you know, we somebody. But it was never about that. And you go to a tomb, you go to the graveyard, and they got all these sepulchres out there. They've got monuments with flowers and little names on them, all kind of designs. Beautiful on the outside, but nothing but death inside. Nothing but death inside. I did not no longer want to be that. And I'm telling you, God is saying this to somebody tonight. Somebody tonight here is being tricked. You're being tricked by the enemy. But here's the hope shot. It don't have to be you no longer past this night.
Yeah.
You can leave that garbage right here and call it for what it is. I'm not ashamed. I go wherever I need to go. I remember they called me when I first got saved. It's about, I've been saved for a few years, but I first came back to Fort Wayne and started working in the ministry. Now, every time somebody would call me, I'd go out. I'd go out in the night. I'd go out wherever I need to go. And the people in my church, some of them have been saved for so long that they were so heavily bound, there was no earthly good. And they began to tell me, well, Brother Lyle, you ought not go out at night to some of them places and talk to some of them people. So I began to listen to that. I began to believe some of that. And one night, this girl had called me, and she said, Lyle, I need you to come and get me. But I remembered what the church folk had said. So I remember what the church folk had said. And I lay there in my bed and said, you know what? I can't come get you. I said, because the people in the church, they told me that I'm not supposed to be doing this. See, because I would call other people and say, come and go with me. Yeah. But the church folk wouldn't go with me. I called some of the women in the church and said, hey, look, I got a girl. She's in trouble. We need to get out there. But see, Mick, I couldn't get none of the church folk to come and go with me. But so this particular night, I didn't go. The next day, I'm at work, and somebody, my phone is blowing up, blue, 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 all different numbers. So I finally with a friend of mine. They called me. I seen his number, so I answered. I said, man, what's going on? How's it going? He said, man, you heard about Crystal? I said, and heard what? No, she died last night. And it broke me down. See, that broke me down. See, I got a fear. I do have a fear. And my fear is that God will send me to minister to someone. And Marvin, I'm too good, or I'm too ashamed, or I'm not ready. And so I won't do what God has asked me to do. And then when it's my time to cross over that river, and I get with Jesus, and I begin to walk across, and he stopped me, and he tell me, hold on, Lyle. I want you to see something.
Uh-huh.
And I look down off in the hill and see somebody. And I tell him, I say, wait a minute, Jesus. I know him. Wait, oh, Jesus, I know her. And he looked me in my eye. And he tells me, yeah, I know you know him. Because I sent you to get him, Lyle. I sent you to get him. But you didn't go. You didn't do what you was asking of you. And because you didn't do what was asking you, Lyle, why don't you go over there and join him? So today it don't matter to me. My phone ring at 2:00. I'm up. I don't have all the money in the world. I'm not the greatest manager of money. Sometimes I went through a lot the last few years, but I don't always have all the stuff I want. But I tell you what, if someone's in trouble, I'm coming. I'm not coming to bring you no money to get high with. I'm not coming to go buy none of the stuff you done stole. I don't need none of that. Call me before you use, and I'm on my way. I'll sit there with you. I'm not ashamed anymore. I'm not ashamed anymore. And we got to get to that point. Like I said this before, I used to be so bad out there. I had a pair of Reeboks I wore so long that the RE fell off, and all I had was a pair of box. But I had to get to the point where I'm no longer ashamed. So I'll call Marvin and I'll tell him what's going on in my life. I'll call Mitch. I'll tell him what's going on in my life because I don't want to look like I'm doing good. See, that was my problem early in my recovery. I want somebody to look like I was doing good. I got a new shirt and a new pair of pants, and I want somebody to think I'm doing good. See, because I would go back to the meetings and get my 30-day token high as a kite. I'd go back to the meetings and get my 60-day token and got dope in my pocket. I would go to church. I can remember one time going to church, and I had this lady that used to be my girl back in the day. She was there with my mom, and I had my briefcase with me. See, because I got a briefcase now. I got a briefcase I'm carrying my Bible in. You know, I don't know two scriptures, but I got me a briefcase, and I'm coming in there. You know, got a big old cross on my chest and a briefcase, and here I come. And as I set that picture, that thing down, and I jumped across the thing to get ready to do my little dance, put my dance on, all of a sudden my briefcase flipped over, and I remembered I had the naked pictures in that briefcase. So I had to stop that dance real quick and get back to this case before my mama and his girl and everybody else seen these naked pictures. I got sent in this briefcase. But today I come with open heart. I come with open heart today. I come out of law. I know what God will do. If God will do it for me, he's no respecter of person. I was the worst dope fiend that I'd ever seen. You know, I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. You know what was crazy? When I was a dope fiend, I could fight pretty good. Never lost a fight. When I take that back, I lost two fights in my life. I had never lost a fight in prison or in jail. But when I got ready to be out there in the street and somebody, like I figured somebody was going to jump me because I had ripped them off or something was going like that, my only fear was I wasn't worried about getting whooped, Marvin. I just didn't want to get whooped in front of nobody. Isn't that crazy? Let's go in the back. You know what I mean? How foolish is that?
Pride.
How foolish is that pride? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That foolish pride. Yeah. All I had left was that foolish pride. The Bible says pride come before the fall. I'm telling somebody here, you already won. You already been anointed to where God has called you to be. You already got it in you. You already that person. It's time to walk in your deliverance. That don't mean everything's going to be peachy keen. When I was in prison, when I first was in prison before, I used to complain about the food and all that kind of stuff. But when I got saved and I knew that it didn't matter, they would say, lie to the cow saw what they got for chow. I say, my favorite. And they said, what's that? I say, anything they shove out that window, because it didn't matter no more, because I wasn't running for my life in the streets. I wasn't 40 pounds on the weight. I wasn't afraid anymore. I was walking in my deliverance. I kept walking in my deliverance. I used to be scared in prison way back. But I'm going to die in here. I stand in my cell looking around. Boy, I sure don't want to die in here. But when I got saved, it didn't matter if I died in there. See, I don't care where I died at that point. It wasn't about where I died at. It was where am I going when I die. That's what made a difference. That's all I got. I want to thank you for letting me share tonight. Anybody got something they want to ask or you want to say?
Thank you.
Good work.
Good job,
I like
what
you said. You said so much, and it just gave revelation tonight that I'm right where I need to be. No more walking in the dark, I'm in the light. You know, even when the enemy, you know, gets mad, especially when my blessings be coming, he's right there on my tail, but I'm learning to deal with him today. And, you know, it's just, I'm just so grateful that I am able to share my story with women that I'm around. You know, it makes me realize that, hey, that crack is behind you. Because why are you sharing this with these people? You know what I'm saying? These dark secrets. You know, and it makes me feel good to be able to share that with these people. It's like a load off of me. And then it makes me feel good. And it makes me feel like, hey, I might be helping somebody else. You know? Right. So I like your sharing tonight. It's great.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming. And some of you think I bless you. You don't know. You really bless me.
Amen.
I see the Spirit of God on you.
Great.
I see it. I want to be next to you. I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Mick, pray us out tonight, buddy.
Praise God.